What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Yes, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. And you rolling with us on this Wednesday.
They don't want me to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, apparently not. Apparently not. To pull the curtain back, John Lopez and, I mean, myself as well, and I imagine everybody else at Sports Radio 610 get excited for the Super Bowl, gearing up for it. You know, we got to go through a credentialing process, and you're fighting with it right now.
Error. Invalid.
You know what I think it is? I think it's the...
I'm not invalid.
That's such a dad joke. I mean, I get it. That's such a dad joke.
It says invalid.
It does. Yeah. It does. I think it's the picture. Yeah, the picture that you're putting in there because it's looking at it and you're like, that's a coaching picture. For some reason,
that guy.
The portrait that you have here looks like one of two things. Mm-hmm. John Lopez looks like he is the assistant offensive line coach somewhere, or and weirdly enough, I think this works. Mm-hmm. He looks like a defensive backs coach because for some reason in my brain, whenever I see a defensive back coach, they either actively look like a defensive back, like they play defensive back, or they look like they have no business playing defensive back whatsoever.
Might have played like in Division III.
And I would like you to guess which of those I think you are in that picture.
I'm going to say defensive backs coach.
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
Don Carroll alum.
That's an. It's such an odd thing. But and the thing I'm hoping for, one, that we get credentialed, obviously, but two, that we are credentialed to talk about the home team playing in the Super Bowl in Santa Clara. That would be really cool. In order to do that, CJ Stroud's got to be a better version of himself than we saw in Pittsburgh on Sunday. We know it. He knows it. He very much stepped up to the podium immediately and acknowledged at least that portion of it, even though I think people still want a little bit of a pound of flesh from him in acknowledging that, you had some good things, but it's unacceptable what happened there. Ultimately, I think we all agree he needs to be better. Mm-hmm. How close is he to being better as we continue along here?
You know, my gut reaction yesterday, and I think I expressed this with you, you know, when you were talking about, well, you know, he did make some good throws. I'm like, yeah, but I mean, you know, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln kind of thing, you know.
It does feel like that when you have not just three turnovers, but at least, no, all three of
five fumbles.
Four fumbles. Two lost.
Five fumbles. Interception.
Two lost, one interception. And three of those, your three turnovers were all. I think they fit under the bonehead category. I don't know. I do not believe him to be a bonehead, but I believe that those were boneheaded turnovers. And that is entirely anomalous. I could see a game in which you had three turnovers and it just kind of sometimes it goes like that. Those types of turnovers was what made it kind of egregious. Again, neither here nor there. How do we fix
it? That's how I felt. That's how, you know, I think that's how most, you know, Texans fans or really just anybody watching those games, like, okay, cool, really good ball to Christian Kirk there, you know, But then I kind of started, you know, digging in a little bit because we all, I think everyone here who follows this team or cheers for this team, you know, wants C.J. Stroud just get a little better. You know, you heard me talking about it yesterday. Just be average, and this team's a Super Bowl team. So I started digging in, and clearly he's pressing. Clearly that's something he needs to get over.
Wait, you got onto the tape?
I let someone else do it for me.
Tape man. Yeah, that's him.
I let someone else.
See, he's leaning into the coach. He was like, I got in the film room because I needed to see.
Got my hoodie on. Got my chaw tobacco.
Yeah, give me the scouting report, Lopez.
So I let someone else do it to me, and I was like, okay, I can see that. So it was Doug Farrar. I know you're familiar with his work.
Yeah, he does a good job.
He does a really good job watching.
Not that he needs me to say that, but yeah.
But he might. And so.
He's just somewhere waiting. Yeah. I hope Reggie likes what I do.
And so I was watching some of his his breakdown of what C.J. Stroud was doing, and it was really very telling. Like, you know, he was actually very accurate downfield when he had the time and the confidence.
Yes.
And you brought that up specifically, and we talked about it. But the one thing that I thought was interesting is he was looking at not just Steelers tape, but tape of other teams, you know, having success against C.J. Stroud when C.J. Stroud struggled. I think it was the Colts. It was, I forget the other two teams. But what he's having a lot of trouble with, and this might explain, you know, kind of in his head type things that we talk about.
Sure.
When there is a lot of pressure shown pre-snap.
And that was the fifth highest pressure rate that he had had.
Not even the actual pressure. Like a lot of pressure shown.
Mm.
Six guys, seven guys.
When they're mugging the line.
At the line of scrimmage. Yeah. His and he had the numbers exactly, but his success rate, his ability to get the ball to the right place was really, really down.
You can't tell me that he has the numbers, not give me the numbers.
I know, but it's shown pressure.
Sure.
Not necessarily that when they show it and then they all back off and kind of cap the, you know, the backfield, the defensive backfield, CJ Stroud has struggled. And so I don't know how you're going to fix the between the ears element, but I really feel that Christian Kirk in particular and some of their approach with the short passes and the getting the ball out and the run game for that matter, but Christian Kirk in particular, that's a big fix for that because of what he can do on the short passes and the
cross. It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Crossers and
stuff. Giving him easy answers when you know that there's guys at the line. Honestly, I do wonder, and I don't have a good answer to this because I have not thought about it all that much. You're bringing this to me now. I wonder how much not using as much of the play action and boots kind of mitigated some or did not give him some of that confidence, because that leak out has become bread and butter. I remember I wrote it in my notes during the course of that game, and we didn't see it nearly as much as we have in other games. I wonder how much of that was also because Dalton Schultz did not seem as involved in the pass game. I don't know exactly
why.
That's
another good point,
Cade Stover got one of those kind of leak outs where he goes, blocks, and then leaks out. And I just wonder if those are the type of plays that you're talking about as well that will help him, help give him confidence, help him you know, get a grasp on the game and then build up that confidence as you go.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this then, the question that we put out there. Is it closer to a fix than it might appear? Or is the headspace element really, you know, we don't know. We don't know how that's going to play out.
Not to sit on the fence. It's a little bit of both. I think it's a lot more of the former. I think it's closer to a fix. I think the issues that he had in this game stemmed from things that we've seen him do correctly before. I think the circumstance got to him in a weird way. I don't know why. Like, and I'm not going to sit here and fully speculate as to why, because I can't get in his head, and I'm not even close enough to try and start getting into his head. But if you keep him out of his head in that way, he knows how to do this. He knows even when you step up the ways to protect the football. There have been instances where he's made poor plays in those ways, but to this point this season, they have not killed you. Right, when he's made some of those poor plays, maybe you've been a little wasteful at times of opportunities, but they've not been things that killed you in the way that, I guess it didn't even necessarily kill you, but the way that it felt like they did versus Pittsburgh. I think that you get a lot closer to the CJ Stroud who is accurate, but then also really good with the football. D'Amico Ryans, a number of times this season, has complimented him for that pressure, take the loss on the down, live to fight another day. It felt like in this game, he absolutely was not. And I think that there has, and hopefully the game itself, the way that it played out, gave him some confidence in that you don't have to be perfect. You just need to live to fight another day and be good enough, more good than bad in these games. You've been given a blessing in the NFL. Not very many quarterbacks have this blessing to where there's some margin for error for you because of how dominant your defense is, and especially when the run game is working that way. Living that margin for error, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
He really is, and I mean, it's not just, you know, his words. It's things that we've seen for years now. He really is an accurate quarterback. It's a matter of just getting over it, getting over yourself. And even the ball to Nico, that was a big miss high. Nico slipped. Otherwise, it would have been a lot closer.
I don't know that he missed on that.
That's what I'm saying. Would have been, because Nico would have been closer to the sideline and might have been a toe tap kind of thing. It was still high and outside, but it might have been.
But I think that's kind of where you needed to throw that.
Yeah, it might have been in the right spot. So the ability to make those throws is there. I mean, boy, this is going to be something that we're just going to have to watch, and we will be watching, and it's going to be really one of the stories of the game in New England, another volatile environment. Another place that has haunting memories, you know, for the organization, even if not necessarily just C.J. Stroud. And another place where he's facing off against a quarterback that has had incredible success is he going to be able to get out of his own head enough to not make those bumbling, you know, type plays?
Yeah, and I obviously I can't speak fully to that, but I have confidence in him. If for no other reason than even in this game, mm-hmm. and you still saw them pop up, which is what will undercut what I say here, but you saw him make the strides in some ways to respond to his own mistakes at mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. The one of the bigger plays that he made, throwing the ball deep to Christian Kirk on a corner route, hitting him in stride.
Yeah.
One, he had protection, but they immediately came after he put the ball on the ground mm-hmm. Due to a snap that comes before he's ready.
Yeah, that was like a 3rd and 17 or something, wasn't it?
I have to check my notes in this moment.
It was in that
see.
Area.
But he's had even in this game, in the small context of this game, a bounce back. Mm-hmm. And so those are the small instances of bounce back. I think if you just are able to steal his reserves, you can do that. And again, I think that they've done a good job of keeping guys around him that encourage him. I've seen some people say that, oh man, mm-hmm. he ain't been the same since you lost the backup quarterback whose name I'm forgetting in this moment. I feel like I'm Clint Sterner.
What do you mean?
Who left? Who went to?
Oh, Case Keenum.
Thank you, Case. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how Case Keenum left me. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about all the names that were not Case Keenum. I was thinking about dudes that he threw to at Houston.
Chad.
I was thinking about everybody besides Case Keenum. My brain is not helping me.
I was waiting for you to say, "What's my man's name?"
I know. That's what I was like. I was like, "How do I embody Clint Sterner fully in this moment?" But I mean, yes. But I mean, Davis has been a good resource for him.
Absolutely.
His quarterback coach has been a good resource mm-hmm. for him. There's been a lot of guys in that building, in that room that even in other instances have consoled him. I mean, Nico Collins has talked about it, like making sure mm-hmm. to go over to your quarterback and being like, hey, you know, let's do it, right? And so I think that they're going to get him into the right space, and the technical portions of it have been more good than bad.
So confidence level.
The confidence level is pretty good that they're fixing
pretty
for
good.
Me.
Figgy, confidence level is going to get fixed. Is he closer than we thought?
I don't want to sit on the fence. I'm gonna
say decent. I know that's not a great endorsement.
Yeah, for CJ, I think we won't see the fumbles and all that stuff in this game, but I'm still a little nervous, man.
I think
the interception that bonehead one got me.
Yeah,
so I'm like, man, I'm a little worried about that part.
No, it's fair, and you know, to be fair, it's not just you know you don't have Nico Collins, but you do have Christian Kirk. You know, all of a sudden showing what he can do. And you have a running game. You know, the run game is going
to
be big for
and him. That's going to be the biggest thing to help me mm-hmm. in this confidence level. I think that the run game, due to some of the tendencies that we've seen from New England, the ways that they line up with what the Texans have done and are doing recently, I think that the run game should be able to supplement and help him and get into that space where now he's in his flow state and able to do things well. I think that is all the circumstance that you have. And if you do that, you have an opportunity to host mm-hmm. an AFC Championship game, man. Now, some of that is being knocked down. We talked about some of the guys that Buffalo is losing. Also, I think it's worth noting that the Broncos are also getting guys back. Drake mm-hmm. Greenlaw looks like he'll play mm-hmm. in this game, even though Sean Payton seems to be upset about you noting that. Can you give me this audio here, Fig? Sean Payton, why is he like this? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me this? Because Sean Payton, talking to the media, just I don't know why he refuses to be likable. This was a pretty reasonable question about Dre Greenlaw returning to his team. And it was really just like a, hey, you know, what does that do for you?
Yeah.
John, having Greenlaw back for this game, his ability to attack downhill in the run game, just how big is that and the timing of it?
Do you want him to attack downhill? Is that your, like, what do you know about attacking downhill in the run game? You don't know. All right, that's right. But, have him attacking downhill. Okay. It's good to have a healthy Dre Greenlaw back in the game.
Did that reporter pee in his cereal?
No, it was playoff mode, man. That's just playoff mode. Everything is, you know, you gotta be angry about something.
Why is he like this?
you said it. Why does he have to be unlikable? Why does he feel compelled to be unlikable?
It's like he wants to.
Yeah.
And for that reason, as well as obviously the selfish reasons, I would like the Buffalo Bills to win. I'm becoming less and less confident that happens.
I think the Broncos would be the right pick. But hey, man, you know they're going to be have an opportunity to play here, and Josh Allen is still Josh Allen.
Yeah, please.
Yeah,
because also a note that was made on the text line
even here when they just destroyed Josh Allen, they had a chance to win it at the end. Buffalo did.
That is fair.
Yeah.
You didn't have to bring that up. I didn't need that. But if it is Buffalo-Houston at NRG Stadium, mm-hmm. we were talking about it earlier, the idea of the Rockets having the happy hour before. Mm-hmm. You think the people are actually in the building in their seats when it kicks? Because I think they are.
100%.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that is the fix.
AFC yeah. Championship.
Yeah.
People will be like wanting to take their kids and their spouses and let's take some pictures. We got to get there early, you know.
No, 100%.
Yeah, it'd be absolutely.
I think that's been the issue with just getting there early. I think a lot of people had that mindset of the same old Texans,
mm-hmm.
or they ain't gonna.
That would change it.
Yeah, 100%.
281. Greetings from Texans fan in Louisville. What's happening?
Yeah.
I think it's worth noting that D'Amico defeated Vrabel twice in 2023, and the Texans defeated Drake May last year as well.
Yeah. I mean, noted. I think it's a lot different right now.
Yeah, and what's funny is I think you ask D'Amico Ryans and he'll tell you. I think he very much goes from the perspective of every year is a new year. So as much as there's a familiarity with some of the things that Vrabel wants to do, you saw Drake May in his first outing. You look around and you go, hey, it's probably going to be a circumstance where it's going to be a different team.
False alarm. False alarm.
Wow. Oh.
False alarm. I did the double check.
Oh, man.
So, no, thank you should thank me.
For what?
There was some news out there.
How did, nah.
You know how people try to cop these
accounts? We should thank you.
I made a mistake. I caught it.
No.
You should thank me for fixing my own mistake.
No.
Is what we're doing here.
You should. Say thank you, Figgy.
Ain't nobody doing that.
I'm doing my job here.
For what? All right.
There was an account that was very much like another one that's a big one that's trustable. Then I did the I did the dig in
for fun. What was
I can't say.
Was
no, no, I can't say.
No,
I'm not gonna say.
Hey,
no,
let's just
don't do that.
No, because then you give them credence.
Sure,
I want to know. Now I just want to know what the fake news was.
No, can't do it. That's why I did the double.
Man,
check. I did the double check.
I'm switching the music.
How much confidence before I get out of this, just to pull us out of this nosedive that you have put us in? How much confidence are you giving in CJ when you look over at Drake May and you saw that he had a pretty rough, outside of the turnovers, he had a pretty rough go of it as well last week.
Well, I think, but the difference was Drake May was just kind of having a tough game against a defense that had his number. There is confidence that the Texans will be able to do that, but it wasn't just a spit in the bit, turnovers and such.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio.
What was
6,
that man? Breaking news?
No,
man. I just want to know.
You're just not going to
give
gonna it.
Say,
you're
ain't
just
gonna,
not
ain't going to give him the time of day.
You're just not going to give it.
Not going to get it.
You're not going to give him more
time. I just
want
to know. You ain't got to shout out the source.
No, man.
Just,
no.
What was it?
This has been a very weird
Nico
end to
playing?
A segment. That's been a very odd end to a segment.
Nico seeing that practice.
All right, 713-572-4610. What is the wildest news Texans related?
CJ Stroud out for the year.
That could have been.
Davis Mills in.
Yeah. Go ahead and recklessly speculate
news.
On the text.
Miko Ryan's fired.
Let's speculate as to what the fake news was that got Lopez.
I like this better than what would have been the actual
news. I'm sure. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that. Well, no, we won't talk about the next. We've got lunchtime confessions. I forgot where we are. Sorry, we'll do it next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.